Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is called Fear Street, Prom Queen, directed by Matt Palmer, written by Matt Palmer, Donald McLeary, and R.L. Stine, starring India Flower as Lori Granger, Fina Straza as Tiffany Falconer, and Susan Sun as Megan Rogers. The plot of the movie is shy student Lori Granger is unexpectedly nominated for prom queen, but the celebration turns deadly when a masked killer begins targeting the nominees. With her best friend Megan, Lori must uncover the truth behind the murders and survive a prom night soaked in blood and secrets. But before we get into it, Corey, last night I was looking in the mirror and you know what? My beard was looking gnarly. And I said to myself, I can't look like this. I gotta do something. So I decided to break out Beard Octane's beard wash and conditioner along with their beard oil. And dude, my beard looked amazing. I'm glad you turned me on to Beard Octane.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I've been using their products for years and I can vouch for them. And whether you're pounding IPAs or chopping wood, you gotta look your best. Visit beardoctane.com and use the code 30screams10 at checkout for a 10% discount. It helps us. And like I said, the products are absolutely incredible. They're local too. They're based out of Connecticut. So help them out, support small businesses. We're not just slinging beard grooming supplies. We've been using them for a while.
Yeah, we have. 30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Fear Street Prom Queen?
So Netflix tried to build off the success of the first three films, but in the process, I think they made a movie that didn't really need to exist.
Yep.
It did nothing for the universe that they built in the previous films. I know this is based on an R.L. Stine book, but I just don't know why it has to be in the trilogy in that universe. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I think it's just part of the series. That's all. But the first three movies, that whole trilogy that they put out, in my opinion, was an absolute masterpiece in storytelling and keeping people engaged through three movies.
Yeah, and I absolutely agree. I remember, what was this, 2 years ago, we did back-to-back-to-back episodes covering all three of the movies because we loved them. I think every one of them got a 5 out of 5 from us.
Yeah, I think there was only one that didn't get a 5 out of 5, but it still ranked really fucking high. So we loved them all. And the conclusion of that movie, like in the third film, it was awesome. It tied everything together. Mm-hmm. I don't think this movie needed to be put out, to be honest. When I heard that there was going to be a new Fear Street movie, I was like, all right, I'm all about it. Let's check it out. I mean, they already had three movies and they all fucking killed. So maybe a fourth one will be good. But overall, it was kind of a mediocre movie of a slasher. It was fine, but very predictable.
Very predictable. One of my favorite things about this movie was the original kills and the fact that they got Chris Klein to come out of retirement.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Just random appearance.
Yeah, as I'm watching it, I'm like, he looks familiar. And I'm like, wait a second, that's Chris Klein, isn't it?
Yep.
No shit. I haven't seen him in ages.
I was just looking at his IMDb. He hasn't done anything since 2023. He was on that show Sweet Magnolias.
Okay.
Which I think is a Netflix show. But before that, he did a bunch of episodes of The Flash in 2019. So he doesn't really do much anymore.
He doesn't need to. I think he can just skate off the earnings from American Pie.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he's living off those still.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Off all those residuals, man.
Benchwarmers got a sequel.
Benchwarmers?
He was in Benchwarmers, too.
Wait a second. What the fuck is Benchwarmers? I know that one.
I'm pretty sure the original was like David Spade.
Ah, yes. I have that on DVD. Mm-hmm. Why? I don't know.
Okay.
I just inherited it.
Yeah, okay. David Spade,
trying to get
definitely
rid of it. No one wants it.
What? Donation bin.
Yeah, it's up on Facebook Marketplace, but no one's biting. I think I even did $5 for a whole stack of them. I don't have a whole stack of Benchwarmers, I assure you. That would be fucking weird. You know what? Here's something funny. I never told you this, and this is off topic. We're already going off topic here. If I had a ridiculous rider, you know how, like, musicians, they only want green M&Ms or something, right?
Yep.
I would want the movie The Rocker used on DVD.
Used.
Used. Just to see if they actually go through with buying a used one.
Rocker. Oh, Rain Wilson.
Yes. It's a fun one. It's a fun movie. So that would be my thing, just to see if they read the writer and they go, okay, we're going to fucking do all this shit so the band can play. And if they do, I'd be like, that's a good promoter right there to fucking do that. It's a test. That's all it is. And then I would leave tour with like 20 or 30 Rocker DVDs. Don't know what to do with them, but I like the idea.
Are they worth anything?
What's that?
Are they worth anything?
No, not at all. I think it's just like, I like the movie. It was good. And it'd be funny to just throw that in there.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not a movie that's really talked about much. I think that might have been his real first starring film, right? Other than that, he's been kind of like co-starring and shit, right?
Rain Wilson?
I mean, he was in, yeah, oh, he, yeah. He was in House of a Thousand Corpses.
Yeah.
And he wasn't like the main star or anything. I think the whole, was it Firefly family? That whole family? I think they were like the main stars of that movie. It wasn't like the people that were basically getting killed. So it was all about them and continued to be that way through the next two movies.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't like any of that stuff because you were not a fan of Rob Zombie films.
Garbage.
Garbage, huh? All of them?
Yeah.
Every single one. All right.
Okay, I mean, No. The first Halloween
okay.
that he did was good.
Yeah.
And I'll say House of a Thousand Corpses, like over the years, I've kind of reversed my opinion on it. Having met Sid Haig and Bill Moseley, I became a fan because, I don't know, they're just nice people in person. And, you know, in the films, they play these murderous people as the Firefly family. And Captain Spaulding's sure. obviously like a legendary character.
He is. Oh, man. Like, throw him in a movie with Art the Clown and Puppet Corn. That'd be absurd. Just a clown's movie. It'd be like Freddy versus Jason versus, I don't know, name another killer. Ghostface.
But, I mean, Sid Haig is dead, unfortunately. So, who do you cast as Captain Spaulding?
Who would I?
I have a thought. I want to hear yours first, though.
Okay, so he's got to be like, so kind of a bigger looking guy, bearded, right? That's kind of what we're thinking.
And the actor doesn't need to be bearded because movie magic.
Movie magic, that's right. So we're still talking a bigger looking guy. I'm going to go a hot take here.
Don't say Batista.
No, I'm not saying that. You ever see, you've seen Cobra Kai, right?
Of course.
Stingray.
Oh, Paul Walter Hauser?
Yeah.
I could see that. That'd be awesome.
He is surprisingly a good actor. Very good actor.
He's also a wrestler.
Is he?
He's been doing a lot of wrestling now, yeah.
I had no fucking clue. That's an interesting take.
Yeah, look it up. Paul Walter Hauser. But anyways, my thought is John Lithgow.
That would be awesome. I would think he would kill it as Captain Spaulding. I almost said Captain Howdy, which is a completely different movie.
Yeah, that's an old movie.
Yes, that's Strangeland,
mm-hmm.
which I watched not too long ago.
Yeah, I feel like we've talked about this a bunch.
We have.
You watch it again.
I want to see him as a Dead by Daylight character.
Captain Howdy?
Yeah.
Voiced by Dee Snider?
Yeah. I'd be fucking all about it. I think that'd be really cool. But I think five people might know who it is. We got a new killer. It's Captain Howdy. People go, who? They would have no fucking clue.
Nope.
Because
no, because it's an old movie.
Yeah, it's an old movie. It didn't do great. There wasn't a sequel or anything like that. Even though I probably would have liked to seen like Cult of Howdy or something.
Yeah.
That would have been fun. But John Lithgow, man, that would be a good call. I think he could fucking kill it as Captain Spaulding because that guy is such a dynamic actor. I mean, we saw him last week on The Rule of Jenny Penn and he stole the show like whenever he was on screen.
He's playing Dumbledore in the Harry Potter show.
Is he?
Yeah.
Wait, did that come out?
It's not out, but they're announcing the cast, you know, who's going to play who. And John Lithgow is confirmed as Dumbledore.
I think he could fucking kill that role.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just an overall great actor to begin with.
Yeah, we're going to find out.
I'm not because I'm not going to watch it.
Fine, I'll fucking find out.
You find out, let me know.
Okay, I'm not going to tell you about it.
That's fine. I don't care. I've just never really been a fan of Harry Potter.
I'm not a fan of you.
Fine. Podcast over.
Done. That's it.
See ya.
Y'all just witnessed the implosion of 30 screens or less. That'd be so funny if we ended it right there.
We just hard cut.
Hard cut and actually release it that way.
Yep. People go, what the fuck just happened? Did the audio die?
Did they cut them off? Like, what happened?
You know, if this podcast ever ends, we should just fucking dead cut it. Like you getting killed in a movie, just dead cut. Boom. Done.
Fade to black.
Fade, not even. Just fucking pure black right away. And just dead silence for 10 minutes.
You want to know something funny?
What's that?
We're 20 minutes recording right now. And I think we've talked about like our first note.
Oh my God. Let's get back into it. We are fucking going off the rails.
Holy crap.
Right now.
Oh,
this
crap.
This is bad. This is really bad. Okay. So I'm going to reel it in and we're going to talk a little bit about this movie. So, yeah, comparing this to the other Fear Street movies is like kind of comparing apples to oranges. I kind of had to go in thinking this was its own entity because those three Fear Street movies that came out initially had all one continuous story that was carrying.
Yeah, and
the only
Netflix,
okay, go ahead.
Netflix announced when this film was announced that it was going to be a standalone film. But I can't get past the Fear Street prom queen.
Yeah, you know what they should have just did was like R.L. Stine's prom queen.
Yeah, we could have done that, but it was like a universe that R.L. Stine created, so I get it. But I don't understand releasing this film after a trilogy that was perfect.
I think it was just coattail shit, man. People were fiending for more Fear Street, and they're like, well, we'll just give them this story instead.
I hope Waxworks released a vinyl for it, because I have the first three.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucking cool. I mean, the soundtrack was awesome.
Yeah, it's so good. And I'm sure they'll do the second one, because I think they have to have the license for it, because they release a bunch of Netflix scores.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would love to hear all that. Actually, I would get all three of those vinyls, to be honest. However, I have a stack of vinyls at the moment that I haven't listened to yet, and I got to work my way through them. Like, I just bought the Crow soundtrack on vinyl.
Okay.
They're just fucking sick. I got Deftones self-titled. I have a Dead by Daylight vinyl that I found.
You found?
Yeah. It was like a volume 3, found it at Bomus.
Okay.
Yeah. What else do I got? Oh, I just listened to Tears for Fears. I bought that, and that album is surprisingly a masterpiece. But what I wanted to say about this movie is that, yeah, you kind of have to go into it as its own standalone. You can't look at it as part of the other three movies. I think the only thing that was really tying this movie to the other Fear Streets was the whole Shadyside, Sunnyvale aspect. And that Lori is cursed because her father was murdered before she was born. And that's about it, really. It's just the whole Shadyside, Sunnyvale. That's it.
I wonder what the... Because we just learned that they changed all the character names in the movie.
Oh, you should have seen that. That was fucking funny. That'll be in the blooper.
I was going to say, I wonder how much of the actual story they changed.
Well, that's a good point, because I was looking at the time on this movie. Hard 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They were probably like, we're going to fit as much as we can in this 90 minutes, and that's the story. So... I didn't read the initial story, and I didn't read the initial stories for the other Fear Street movies either, so I could only speculate what it's like. I feel like I would actually enjoy reading that, but what are they like? I know R.L. Stine is kind of primarily like teenage books, right?
Yeah, I was going to say Goosebumps was my jam growing up, and I honestly didn't know until recently that he had other... Probably until Fear Street, actually, that he had other things that he made other than Goosebumps.
Yeah, so maybe these are more adult-based. Right? So they're not something that's a little bit on the kiddie side type deal.
Yeah.
Teenage side.
He did adult horror too, apparently.
This must be adult horror, because I can't think of a way where he'd be like, I'm going to throw this into Goosebumps, where it's just a bunch of people getting fucking hacked to death.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of hacked to death, man, there were some pretty decent fucking kills in this movie.
So speaking of the kills, so we get this person, I can't remember what her name is, but the first person that dies in the hallway of that school, and she's just standing there looking ahead because she hears something,
mm-hmm.
but she never turns around. And the killer, you can see walking towards her like he's walking down a fucking ramp at WrestleMania, like The Undertaker. It took him like literally like 40 minutes to walk up and kill this girl. And she never noticed that he was directly behind her. I chortled at this one.
You mean the first girl, the beginning?
Yeah, very first kill.
Yeah, yeah, she's just fucking hanging out there. You would think she'd hear the footsteps, like, hammering as this guy's walking towards her with a fucking axe.
Nope, but not a thing. Not a single thing went in her ears, and she got clipped immediately.
Yep, so just axe right to the shoulder, kind of goes through. She goes down, axe to the head. We don't see the actual axe to the head, but... presumed dead. It's pretty safe to say that she died, which we do find out later. He was burning the boots. But there's this one kill, man, that is so gnarly, and it's kind of giving me like irrational fear vibes. And it was the guy getting his hands cut off with the paper cutter.
When the second I saw that, I said, finally a good use of a paper cutter in a movie. Because every time I think of that weapon being used, Megan. And I hate
when she pulls
Megan.
It off. Yeah, I know you do. Oh, man. Yeah, we're getting a Terminator 2 type situation for the sequel where Megan is basically the T-800.
I haven't even watched the trailer for that. And you sent it to me and I never opened it. That's how much of a shit I give about the sequel. We'll still review it for the lulls, but...
I think it's going to be more of an action movie as opposed to horror.
Yeah, like a diehard movie with Megan.
Yeah, basically. No, Megan's basically Arnold Schwarzenegger. And there's this like new toy doll that came out that's basically like the T-1000.
Okay.
So Megan has to fight the T-1000 version to protect the girl. It's Terminator 2. It absolutely is Terminator 2, but Meganized.
I hope the actor that plays him shows up. That'd be sick.
Wait, the actor that plays him? As in Patrick?
It's Patrick something. He's in Peacemaker too.
Yeah, I'm working on it. Robert Patrick.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, I had the last name. His brother's also the lead singer of the band Filter. Do you know that?
No, I had no idea.
Yeah, it's fucking wild, man. It's pretty cool. You know, you would think, oh, they're just same names, whatever. But then you find out, oh, they're actually brothers. They've done pretty well from themselves.
Yeah, for sure. I never knew that. That's crazy.
Yeah. So one brother was in Nine Inch Nails and then started Filter. And the other brother is in arguably the greatest action film of all time, next to Die Hard. I mean, what would you say the best action film of all time is?
Die Hard.
Okay.
I'm going to blow your mind, though.
Okay.
I didn't say Die Hard 1. Die Hard with a Vengeance, baby.
Die Hard with a Vengeance?
Yes.
Two?
No, that's the third one.
Oh, you're right. Fuck. Yeah, Die Hard with a Vengeance. Die Hard 3. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The buddy comedy one.
I loved it, man. Bruce Willis and Sam Jackson. Come on. And what the fuck was the guy that plays Hans Gruber, his brother?
Jeremy Irons.
Jeremy Irons is so good as the villain.
He's awesome anyways.
Yeah.
Jeremy Irons is great.
Yeah, Die Hard 3 or Die Hard with a Vengeance is my favorite of the trilogy. That's probably, actually, it's not even a trilogy. They made a fourth one, but that's probably an unpopular opinion.
They made Live Free or Die Hard and, I don't know, Die Hard, Die Harder. I don't remember what it is. I'm just throwing shit out.
I think
it's
the fourth one. Yeah, Die Hard.
There's Live Free or Die Hard.
Oh, A Good Day to Die Hard.
That's it. Thank you. That's the fifth one.
Yeah.
Good Day to Die Hard.
Wait, there were five?
Yeah.
Oh, no way.
So Die Hard, Die Hard 2, Die Hard with a Vengeance, Live Free or Die Hard. And what was the name of that one? A Good Day to Die Hard. It was basically his son was a CIA operative.
Wow. That movie was so good, I don't even remember it existed.
it's fine. John McClane is basically overseas helping his son in the CIA.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Apparently, a New York cop just can hang that hard with CIA operatives. Makes sense. It's movie magic in action. It doesn't matter. It's supposed to be explosions and insanity.
You know what else is a really good action movie that I enjoy that's probably an unpopular opinion?
Yeah, go ahead.
Rambo 3.
Rambo 3. Okay. No, that's a solid pick. You like the sequels, don't you?
Not Rambo 3. What the fuck was the last one called? Oh, it was just Rambo.
Oh,
the one that came out in 2008.
Yeah, that was sick.
I love that one. I remember going to the theaters to see that with my dad.
It's fucking great.
Yeah, he fucking loved Rambo. So when all those movies would come out in theaters, we would always be there to see them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we saw Rambo, I think, on IMAX.
Oh, man. The gun scene?
Yeah, or the scene where he's making all those people run through the rice field and they're just stepping on mines.
Oh, that place must have been fucking shaking. For those of you who don't know, the IMAX theater we have is absurd. The screen is like two stories high and... they have butt kickers, which is just rumbling under the seat anytime something big happens.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, if you're watching a scene that is just nothing but explosions, you might as well just be sitting on one of those massage chairs at the mall.
Yeah, okay. That's a good,
just
a good comparison.
Just whole time. It's just like vibrating. So yeah, let's get back into Fear Street.
Okay.
So this kill man with the hands getting cut off, fucking brutal. And then he's running to the door and he's trying to open the door with his stub of hands.
His nubs.
His nubs.
Look like a kitten trying to open a door.
Oh.
With his paws.
Yep. So he's trying to open the fucking door and head smashed in the door and dead. Uppercase D-E-D dead. The girl that was murdered right before him was one of the prom, well, the girls running for prom queen. And she got her intestines cut out. So she's walking around holding her intestines in her hand, and they drop, and then there's the killer, and then that's when the whole hand-cutting insanity happens. these kills were pretty wild.
One thing that I really enjoyed, the little detail, I don't know if you noticed, but the kills, there were several kills in this movie that just happened out of absolutely nowhere. There was no predicting a jump scare. There was nothing. It would just be a person standing there, like the guy with the meat grinder.
Oh, yeah.
He's literally just standing there talking to someone, and then out of nowhere, just a grinder on the side of his face.
Oh, God. Oh, not a grinder, a fucking it was like a skill saw.
Oh, it was, no, I think it was one of those little mini grinders.
Oh, was it a mini grinder and not a skill saw?
Yeah.
Okay. So it just happened so quick, like side of the face, and his face is fucking getting like hacked. And the guy's girlfriend is just standing there watching this happen in pure shock. Meanwhile, she's also one of the other prom queen candidates. So she actually ends up getting electrified by bumping into one of those electrical panels.
That was the biggest electric panel I've ever seen in my life.
It was fucking
It was like a whole wall.
Didn't need to be that big. Also, very dangerous to have an electrical panel like that with wires just fucking everywhere. What kind of electrician fucking did that? I bet if that was thrown on social media, all the electricians would be chiming in being like, that's the wrong kind of cord for that type of wattage and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, okay, it's a movie. Whatever. So a lot of these girls are just starting to get, like, hacked off. Then there's the big twist, which is the Scream twist.
Yep.
As I like to call it.
It's the Scream twist that I think started it, and then it's happened several times since. It's it's become a trope, I think.
Yeah, it's a horror trope. And as soon as they announced it was two killers, I knew right away it was the mom and dad of the other girl who was trying to be the prom queen, which was Tiffany.
Yeah. So not having read the books or knowing anything about the story, I was kind of guessing that the killer, well, before we knew that there were two, I thought it was going to be Lori's dad. I thought it might be something like that. But the second I saw there were two killers, I was like, maybe it's Lori's dad and mom.
Right. I was kind of thinking that, too. I think I initially thought it was going to be Lori's mom that was going to be the killer because she wanted her to be prom queen because she couldn't be prom queen due to the husband being murdered. But as I'm like thinking about that, I'm like, you know what? That doesn't really make sense. Her dad was murdered. Why the hell would she kill other people just to make sure her daughter's prom queen? Wouldn't make sense. But then I was thinking it was Vice Principal Dolores. I was thinking it might have been her because
she was awkward.
She was very awkward. She fit the bill for a killer. You know, someone that's very weird, very like, is it her? I'm not sure. Could have been killer, but she was on the screen too much to justify her being a killer. She was in that room way too much. So that's why I was starting to think, okay, probably not her. And then I started thinking, all right, it has to be the father of Tiffany. It has to be. And I was right. We find out it's the dad. And as soon as I saw it was the dad, I'm like, there's only two other logical explanations for this. And it was either the vice principal, which still wouldn't really make much sense, or it was Tiffany's mother. And that made total sense at the end. However, what didn't make total sense is them being basically a family of murderers.
Right. I laughed pretty hard, though, when the reveal with Tiffany happened. The reveal that she was part of it by her pulling the knife out of her pocket or wherever it was.
Yep.
It looked like a pocket knife.
Yeah. It's because there's the parents that have the daddy knife, the mama knife, and she's got the little baby knife, right?
It looks like a play school knife, dude. It was insane.
Yeah, it's like Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
Oh, yeah?
You know,
okay.
This knife is too big, this knife is too small, this knife is just right, or whatever. In her case, it was too small. I thought it was a little weird, but I honestly wasn't expecting it. I did not think that she was going to be like part of the whole killing. I figured that her parents were going to be the ones that wanted to see their daughter be perfect and not lose to Lori, but I did not expect her to also be involved in it.
No, not at all.
And then we get the Scream twist again, where Tiffany's mom killed Lori's dad. And that's the same shit as Billy Loomis killing Sydney's mom.
So we basically had two Scream twists in this movie.
Yep.
Exactly. Which is fine, man. I love those parts about slasher movies.
Yeah.
The story. It's not just a killer, you know what I mean? Like, Jason has a story. Michael has a story.
Yeah.
Freddy has a story, which, fuck Freddy.
Yeah. We all know why. We're not a fan. We just don't condone what he does. But, yeah, I mean, it had a good story behind it. We weren't expecting anything, like, Jason's backstory, where he was a child who drowned, became Jason later on, like the fucking entity, that type deal. We weren't expecting anything like that. We were expecting just someone causing some fuckery and going through all the prom queens. But the kills were good. I enjoyed the kills. Some aspects of it was predictable, though. That's all. You know, we gotta keep this in mind, is that we've watched plenty of horror movies, so we can just see some of this shit from a mile away. But do you think the general viewer who doesn't really watch horror movies much might actually be like, oh shit, that's crazy?
I think you're right. You have a good point. Like, we do watch it. Obviously, we have a podcast about horror movies. But for someone, so most horror movies, directors have a tendency to, like, jump scares, for example, like, you know, they're coming.
Yep.
So you and I have seen plenty of horror movies. They set them up the same way every time, pretty much.
Yeah.
If there's some silence coming or maybe some music.
Mm-hmm.
For someone that's not familiar with that, they don't know any of that shit. So yeah, maybe they might be scared of this.
Maybe. So they're probably scared of this, and they probably see these two twists happening and going, oh shit, I did not see that coming. So it's probably a completely different experience from those viewers.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of have to like keep that in mind for us. But for us, there was a lot of predictability.
I did. But I will say, though, we're at the end of the movie anyways.
Yeah,
the last few minutes of this movie with like the final showdown was awesome.
Yes, I agree. The showdown was fucking great. Tiffany fucking ultra dead. Like all caps, man. Fucking getting kicked by Lori off the third floor. Goes crashing down onto a statue. Fucking through her chest. Blood everywhere. Delightful. It was an awesome kill. The mother fucking freaked out. I was probably expecting like the mother to die and then it'd be a showdown with Tiffany versus Lori.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But Tiffany died first, and nothing wrong with that. Either way, it was still a good battle at the end.
Yeah, I think they did a great job with the way that it ended, and they kind of did leave it open for a sequel, I feel.
Yeah, with the post-credits.
Yeah.
You saw the post-credits, right?
Mm-hmm.
I figured, because I was borderline ready to turn it off and just go, okay, I got my notes. But then something told me, like, maybe I shouldn't turn it off just yet.
You are not in that habit yet of literally never turning a movie off until
I'm not. I'm really not.
Man, I do it with everything, even fucking Disney movies now.
Well, Disney movies make sense. But some of these movies now that are just, I don't know, just really basic dramas or whatever, or maybe a rom-com, I'm not expecting there to be some sort of end credits thing. But that's like a common thing now, isn't it? It's just like it almost happens all the time. Almost, right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, you're right.
But there are some other things in this movie that definitely screamed 80s. The girls dancing on stage in bathing suits just to promote Tiffany as prom queen. A little cringy, you know?
Yeah, it was cringy and it kind of traumatized her a little bit, but...
Yeah.
So this is another movie I thought that did good at making you really hate the bullies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
Tiffany
like
sucked,
fucking
man.
Really made you hate the bullies in this movie. And,
yep.
And, you know, slowly but surely they all get theirs. And it was glorious every single time.
Oh, every single death was glorious. Obviously, we talked about Tiffany's death, but I want to go back to the cringe.
Mm-hmm.
The dance fight between Lori and Tiffany.
That didn't need to happen.
Didn't need to happen the slightest bit.
Nope.
At all.
And the dancing was a little bit so cringe.
Oh my God. I was getting secondhand embarrassment watching that.
Yep.
Yeah. Fuck. You know when you get secondhand embarrassment and you're just sitting there and you're like, ugh, fuck.
Yep.
That's what was happening to me. Like, I just wanted to curl up in my own little fucking ball and like process what the fuck I'm watching right now. Because it was very cringy. They were just at each other's throats and like causing all sorts of shit. And then it's like, oh, dance off.
Yeah.
Like, what? Okay.
Yeah, the DJ of the dance like plays this like, I don't know, hip hop type beat song.
Yeah, I don't remember.
It was awful.
Yeah, it was pretty awful. Yeah, that was a little weird. It is what it is. It's 80s music where it's like the 80s. 80s were big on all sorts of pop culture or just pop. So you can throw that shit in there in the 80s and it's like, oh, this is cool. This is a fun scene. But today we're just like, I don't know. That's fucking lame. But they're keeping it tried and true with the 80s. So I like that they did that. I don't want to give away too much because there's a few other deaths, which are delightful.
Yep, for sure.
So we've been talking a lot about this. We've been going on our own little tangents, all this shit like we usually do. I think that we could probably just get into it. Corey, what do you give Fear Street Prom Queen?
I'm going to give this a 3 out of 5. I mean, for the most part, I did enjoy it, but I think that it had absolutely nothing to do with the Fear Street universe that they built in the first three films. I know it's supposed to be a standalone film based on R.L. Stine's books, but coming off a trilogy as good as those first three movies were, it doesn't make any sense unless there's a sequel to this coming.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. You know, same for me. I'm going to go with a 3 out of 5 on this one as well. Now, as I said before, one thing we have to keep in mind is we definitely cannot compare the original Fear Street trilogy to this, because that trilogy, again, is a masterpiece in writing from start to finish.
You're right, but it's hard not to because it says Fear Street in the title.
I know. It'd be like putting out a Friday the 13th movie and it's like a completely different story about like some side character.
Friday the 13th.
Wait, they did that for fucking Halloween, didn't they?
Wait, what?
Season of the Witch.
Oh, you're right. That one had nothing to do with the story.
Yeah. No, nothing at all. So it's kind of like that.
That one, I love Season of the Witch 3, or Halloween 3, though. I love those costumes. And that's actually one of my favorite scores of the whole franchise as well.
Oh, yeah. That's a fun score.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that score. It's an interesting movie. You kind of have to just take it at face value and not compare it to the Halloween movies that we know with Michael Myers. So it's kind of like that. So I had to go in with that mindset that it's just kind of its own thing. With that said, I thought the movie was fun and it was worth a watch. My only gripe was the sheer predictability of the movie, with the exception of Tiffany's whole family, including her, basically being killers. I had different thoughts of who the killer was, but once they introduced the two killers, I already knew. I knew it was the parents. However, I don't really think there's any other way that could have been done unless Tiffany turned out to not be a killer in training. Essentially, they basically just flat out copy Scream verbatim. Like, Tiffany had no idea. The parents were behind it. That's it. But it would have been way too cliche, way too obvious. The kills were awesome, which is what you hope for in a slasher. So I was pleased with that. The score was awesome because it was a shit ton of 80s synth music, which obviously we know I love. And I thought the acting was overall good. So if you want a fun slasher to watch that's not going to eat up too much of your time, then check it out. Fear Street Prom Queen is now streaming on Netflix. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30ScreamsOrLess.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out BeardOctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30Screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30screamsorless. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans. Plot is, when the It girls competing for prom queen at Shady High start to disappear, a gutsy outsider discovers she's in for one hell of a prom night. Who the fuck is the outsider?
Did you write this with ChatGPT?
No.
No, it's on IMDb.
No, it's on IMDb. I'm assuming that Megan is the gutsy outsider, but maybe they're considering Lori Granger as the outsider. Whatever.
Are we calling the killer the thing, like the outsider?
Oh, maybe. A gutsy outsider. Who the fuck is...
All right.
I've got questions. All right.
Both of us are just like at a loss for words now.
Okay. Should we fucking do a different plot?
Let's consult ChatGPT real quick.